Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome back to Delaney's First Chapters. I'm going to be reading to you today from Conduct Unbecoming, which is one of my Florida family's novels. It's a romantic suspense set here in Florida. Without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and start because the chapter's a little long, but just for your information, this is a companion book to The Ninja Tattoo, which I read a few days ago. Chapter 1, From Conduct Unbecoming by Delaney Oakes. Bright afternoon sunshine streaked through the drapes over his bedroom windows. A hot, white beam lanced his eyes, making him tear up and flinch away. "No more tequila," he groaned, rolling away from the assault on his retinas. A soft, warm body next to him grunted slightly, and one hand rose to shove him away. Teague laughed, kissing the blankets over her head before getting up. He closed the blinds all the way and went to the bathroom. The bedroom clock told him he'd slept far longer than he intended. "Time is it?" the muffled female voice grumbled. "Almost 2 a.m.? No, baby, afternoon. Shit!" A tousled brunette head emerged suddenly from under the blankets. "Shit, shit, shit, I have an appointment with a florist." "That's tomorrow, babe. It's Sunday." Groaning, Vivica flopped on the bed, holding her head with her hands. "I hate sunlight. I hate tequila." She pulled a pillow over her face. "You hate me, too?" Teague crawled on the bed, straddling her. Vivica put the pillow aside. "You're the only thing I don't hate." "Good, because I'd sure hate for you to hate me." He took her hands, stretching them above her head as he kissed her. "Someone woke up happy," she giggled. "Nope, woke up with a hell of a headache. But you woke up, so now I'm happy." He kissed her again, letting his lips drift to her shoulder. "I can tell," Vivica remarked as his lean, hard-muscled body covered hers. "I need to pee." She shoved at his chest, rolling from beneath him. "Go pee and come back naked," he said as he let her up. Vivica winked provocatively at him before going in the bathroom. Teague divested himself of his pajama pants and threw back the covers. He was primed and ready when Vivica returned. She wore his old army T-shirt and boy-cut panties. He had those off her before she could fully settle on the bed. "Someone's hungry," she remarked as he stroked her breasts with both hands. "I'm always hungry when you're around." It was obvious Teague didn't want to talk at the moment. Truth be told, neither did Vivica. The months they'd been together had been the best of her life. Teague was a good man, thoughtful and kind. He was handsome and well-built and knew what he was doing in bed. Considering the men she'd had in her life up until she met him, she counted herself lucky in every possible way. His cell phone rang. Groaning, Teague reached for it. He knew who it was before he answered. He had a special ringtone for that particular caller, Ming's theme from Flash Gordon. Trouble was, he knew she'd call back until he picked up. Better to get it over with. "Yes, ma'am." "Don't you even say hello?" "Not when it's you. What do you need?" He flopped on his back, excitement replaced by anger. "This is important, Sergeant. I gave that rank back, ma'am." "Don't be obtuse, Sergeant McMurtry. I need your help." "I'm a civilian now, Captain. If you'll excuse me, I'm in the middle of something." He moved to hang up. "Teague, wait, please." Her voice broke. His hand hovered over the off button. Sighing, he put the phone back to his ear. "I can't do this again, Eileen. Last time we talked wasn't pretty." "Last time we talked, you walked out on me. This isn't about me. It's about Nadia, her best friend." Teague pulled the blanket over his naked body, holding the phone tightly with his left hand. Vivica lay on the other side, leaning on her elbow. She pulled the blankets to her chin, waiting. Teague rubbed the bridge of his nose with his thumb and index finger. "What's wrong?" "You're the only person I can trust with this, Teague. She's gone missing." "Eileen, that's what police are for." "No. No, the police won't do anything. They say she's an adult and she can do what she wants, but she was acting crazy the last time I talked to her. I'm worried." Her voice caught in her throat, and she burst into tears. Teague closed his eyes, knowing he was going to regret his next words. "What do you need from me, Eileen?"
"I need you to find her. Bring her home."
"What makes you think I can find her? Wouldn't your local police be better equipped?"
"But she's not up here. She's in Florida to find the men, the ones..."
"The ones she says she saw."
"Yes," she sobbed. "She was in therapy, making good progress. She was happy for the first time in years. Why would she leave like this?"
Something triggered it. Any idea what?
"No, none. I can't get much from her shrink. I'm not her contact person. I want you to talk to her."
"Why?" "If she won't talk to you,
because she'll talk to you."
"It's Isabel," she blurted. "Just because I slept with a woman a few years ago doesn't mean she'll talk to me about Nadia now, Eileen. If anything, she's going to be less inclined to talk to me."
"Nadia put you down as her emergency contact. I told her to use me, but she refused. Isabel will talk to you for that reason, if nothing else."
"I'm going to regret this," Teague said. "I know that before I start. How the hell am I going to track down Nadia or Isabel? I don't even know where to start."
"That's where I come in." The smugness in her voice was like fingernails on slate.
Teague shuddered.
"Both Isabel and Nadia were in Florida as of yesterday. Isabel is working at the Emotional Healing Clinic in Daytona, and Nadia has been seeing her for the past year."
Exhaling slowly, Teague nodded. "Okay. I make no promises, but I'll see what I can find out. Happy now?"
Eileen sobbed again. "I won't be happy until Nadia is safely home."
"I hate you, Eileen.
I hate you more.
Bye.
Goodbye. And thank you."
Teague hung up, dropping his android on the bed. Vivica traced circles on his chest and abdomen, letting her fingers drift lower. Frowning, she bit her lip and lifted the covers. "There must be something seriously wrong with you." She licked and nipped his ear, letting her fingers do the walking. There was still no reaction from Teague. Slapping his chest, Vivica sat up. "Okay, what's up, Sergeant? Because that sure isn't the way your little soldier behaves." Teague laughed, pulling her back down. "Sorry, former Army buddy, her best friend, another Army officer, has gone missing. Nadia quit about the same time I did. Her time there was even tougher than mine. She claimed that she witnessed something, a murder, and no one believed her."
"And?"
"I believe Nadia. But she can't prove anything. She got so paranoid she couldn't function. She was sure someone was trying to kill her, other than the enemy, that is."
"Were others involved?"
"Yes. She's never been able to find them all, at least not when I saw her last. She found one, and they even managed to have him arrested after he tried to kill her. He met with an accident in prison."
"She had him killed?"
Teague became evasive. "Maybe." He wouldn't meet her gaze. Vivica knew better than to ask anymore. He'd never tell her details, nor would he lie to her. Therefore, he'd stay quiet. It was one of the things she found most annoying, yet endearing, about him.
"So what's your first move?"
Teague looked at the clock before rolling toward her. "First, I make love to the most beautiful woman in the world. Then I see if I can figure out where Nadia's gone." Vivica and Teague spent a blissful hour in bed before getting up for a shower and a meal. Since she cooked, he loaded the dishwasher. Afterward, he got ready to go. Vivica sat on the bed, talking to him while he dressed.
"So, what are you going to do?"
Teague shrugged. "Head up to the clinic and see if I can find Isabel."
"Can't you just call?"
He shook his head. "Chances are, unless I sneak up on her, Isabel's not going to want to talk to me."
"Why?"
Teague stopped with his wallet halfway in his pocket. He bit his lower lip, holding it a moment between his teeth.
"Well, Iz and I didn't part on the best of terms."
Vivica spread her hands, wiggling her head as if to say, "Well,
we dated some. It went real good for a while. Until
we had a major misunderstanding and broke up."
"How major?"
"A major, major." He ruffled his hair and tugged his ear. "She had a thing with this major, and I found out about it. Kind of squelched my enthusiasm. I raised a stink over it and nearly got myself in dishonorable discharge. Isabel pulled a few strings, but it got hushed up, and had to apologize to the major for breaking his nose. Teague, you're so lucky you didn't get in a lot of trouble. Yeah, well, Isabel knows some folks at the Pentagon real well. Friends in high places? Something like that. So she's a shrink, huh? Yeah, she's been doing that a good few years. She handles post-traumatic stress cases and assault victims. Army shrinks claim Medea's got PTSD. I think she's got a bad case of eyewitness blues myself. Oh, poor girl. Do you think she's gone after the men she saw? That's what I'm fixing to find out. He put his hand on her cheek, kissing her. Sorry to interrupt our day. This is important. You find that girl and you help her, Teague. You do for her what you did for me. His eyes twinkled as he stroked her cheek. Oh, like giving her multiple orgasms on a daily basis? Be serious. You saved my life. Go save hers. I'll do my best, babe. I'll give you a call later. He kissed her once more before heading out to his truck. The sun beat down mercilessly. The seat of the truck was so hot he was glad he'd worn long pants. He backed out of the driveway and headed to US 1 a couple blocks west of the house. He turned north, then west again, making his way to I-95. About 40 minutes later, he pulled in the parking lot at the Emotional Healing Clinic. Luck was on his side. They kept weekend hours. Putting his truck in park, he sat with his hands on the steering wheel, staring at the building. He doubted that Isabel would be there on a Sunday, but maybe he'd find someone who knew Nadia. It was a stab in the dark, but he had nothing else to go on. He couldn't sit at home until Monday, worrying about Nadia. He was a man of action and needed to keep moving. The sun off the pavement hit him hard, making him wince. The intense heat brought back the nearly forgotten hangover. No more tequila, he mumbled as he walked up the sidewalk to the front door. He showed his ID to the person at the desk and was directed to Isabel's office. By some miracle, she was there. T could see her through the window in the door. She was on the phone, talking briskly. Her hair was longer than the last time he'd seen her. Silver streaks that he didn't think were coloring frosted the thick ebony waves. A pair of narrow black-framed glasses perched on her prominent nose. Her dark brown eyes focused on the computer screen in front of her. Dark red nail polish glinted at him from her perfectly manicured nails, challenging him to interrupt her. Taking a deep breath, he rapped sharply on her door. Standing where she could see him through the glass, Isabel barely looked at him. She beckoned with her left hand as she concluded her call. A platinum band with three large pillar-cut sapphires graced her ring finger. Teague opened the door, waiting for her to hang up and look at him. I need to go. Yes, my next appointment is here. I don't care what you have to do. Take care of it. Bye. Her gaze moved from the computer to Teague. It took her a moment, but she recognized him. Anger and happiness warred in her face for a moment. A professional mien descended quickly, replacing the emotional display. She stood, holding out her hand. Sergeant McMurtry, I wasn't expecting you. It's just Mr. McMurtry, Teague smiled, but it was somewhat half-hearted. Isabel? Dr. Carter. It's Quartermain now. She wiggled her finger at him. That was the name of the major you hit, yes. So, married the major. You didn't come here to talk about my wedding. She sent you, didn't she? They both knew which she, Isabel, meant. Only one person made her that irritated, with the possible exception of Teague, Eileen. At one time, rivals for his attention, Eileen had won out, only to be displaced by Isabel later. Sitting up straighter in his chair, Teague nodded. She's worried about Nadia. So am I, Isabel admitted, snapping somewhat. I contacted the authorities, but they won't do anything yet. She has a pattern of this sort of thing. Teague nodded. He knew that well. Nadia's behavior had always been erratic. I want to help, Teague said. I have resources that you don't. I think I can find her. Isabel didn't argue. She'd known Teague long enough to realize he was right. Going by official channels wasn't going to cut it. She needed outside help. "When's the last time you saw her?" he asked. "Friday afternoon. She came in for her appointment at 2 and left a little after 3. "Did she seem upset?" Isabel pursed her lips, glaring at Teague over the top of her reading glasses. "Why, is that a stupid question?" Teague sighed, throwing up his hands. "Can we not do this? Just answer me without the snarky comments. I'm hungover and I'm worried sick." Isabel's face softened. She gave him an appraising visual examination. "Too much tequila? You think?" "It's not your friend, Teague. I've always told you that." "Yeah, but this isn't about me. Was she upset?" "Nadia is always on edge. More than usual, yes. She said she'd tracked down another of the men. She saw him at a bar beachside Daytona. She tracked him to a condo in New Smyrna. I urged her to go to the authorities, but she said they wouldn't do anything." "She's probably right. You should have sent her to me. I didn't know where to find you." "Oh, right. And I believe that sack of shit. Why? You probably know what I had for breakfast and how many times I had sex in the last 24 hours. Isabel actually laughed. "Let's see. Drunk on Cuervo. Steady woman. It's after 3. She put her pen to her lips, tilting her head back and forth as she did calculations. "I'm going to say 4. Teague chuckled. "How well you know me." "You don't look good. You look good, Teague. Happy." He nodded, smirking. "So do you. Is your major treating you well?" She blushed, hanging her head. "Yes, he treats me very well. But this isn't about me either. I didn't want to send Nadia to you. I know about the first one, what happened to him. I can't prove anything. You have to believe that wasn't my doing, I swear to you. But you know who it was." He said nothing. "I'm asking you to tell me." "I'm not asking you to tell me. I don't want to know. He was a horrible person, and he deserved it. I don't want to see Nadia get in deeper. This isn't healthy for her. She wants justice, Isabel. Wouldn't you?" "Yes, and I want that for her, too, but this isn't the way. Besides, how can she be sure? We had definitive proof with Ainsworth. It was open and shut, irrefutable. This guy?" She shrugged. "That's what I want to find out is. I want to make sure Nadia doesn't make a horrible mistake. I want to help her find the truth and keep her safe from it." "That's a tall order, Teague, even from you. She's my friend." Isabel leaned across the desk, half standing. Her dark eyes bored into his, full of suppressed anger. "You aren't Superman." Teague remained calm, sitting back in his chair with his long legs stretched in front of him. "I don't have to be. I just have to be me." Isabel set her glasses on the desk, dropping into the chair. Covering her eyes with the heels of her hands, she burst into tears. Teague watched her calmly. She sniffled and sobbed a minute or so before he got up and came around the side of the desk. He crouched by the chair, putting his hand on her shoulder. Isabel shivered before flinging herself into his startled embrace. Teague patted her on the back, crooning softly. Finally, the tears subsided, and she was left with the hiccups. A few sips of water cured those. "I'm sorry," she muttered. "I'm worried sick, Teague. I've hardly slept. I'm not usually here today, but I've been calling everyone I can think of to help with this." "Everyone but me." He went back to his chair. "I couldn't. Victor would hate that I'm even talking to you right now." Teague tried to hide a smirk as he sat down again. Isabel sucked in her cheeks, glaring at him. "Really? Back to that?" She tossed her head, and some of her hair fell in her face. He shrugged one shoulder. "He still knows who the better man is. Ain't going to change. And your narcissism hasn't faded over the years." "This isn't about me and your husband." Teague spat out the last word as if it tasted bad. "This is about a fragile, traumatized woman with an agenda. If she thinks this is one of the men she saw that night, she's not going to stop until she kills him. She's a danger to herself and others, Isabel. You need to tell the cops that." "I can't, don't you see? If they think that, they'll go after her like a criminal. She's the victim." slamming her hands on the desk. She stood, leaning over the desk angrily. She saw her lover brutally murdered. I know, and if I'd been there, I'd have found out who did it. But that was before I knew her. He leaned forward, forearms on his thighs, hands clasped between his knees. Did she say which bar? That one near the cemetery. Did she give you a description of him? She did one better. She took his picture. Have you run it through the database? Of course I have. What did you get? A lot of nothing. She handed Teague the picture. It was grainy and slightly blurry, but clear enough that it should have worked. Can I have this? Yes, she sent me a copy via email. I printed that. I need that file, Iz. I need you to tell me everything. She started to protest. He held up his hand. I know there's all kinds of privacy rules, but if you want to see Nadia alive again, you're going to cooperate completely with me. We can find her, bring her back, but you've got to trust, Iz. And you've got to give me everything. Don't hold back. Isabel sighed, closing her eyes. She moved her lips silently and crossed herself. There was decision in her eyes when she opened them again. Okay. I'll give copies of everything in her files. You tape sessions. I need those too. Teague? Isabel. Okay, I'll get it together in me email. I'd just as soon wait. I've got friends who can help. I'll give them a call and set things in motion. He took his phone from his pocket and dialed his friend Neil Tooker. Neil was a police detective and close friend. They'd known one another since high school. He also happened to be dating an FBI agent stationed in Jacksonville. If Neil couldn't help him, Danielle could. The phone went right to voicemail. Exasperated, Teague left a message for Neil to call him. He called Danielle's number next. Neil's girlfriend answered in a waspish tone that told Teague he'd interrupted something important. Agent Torv. Teague put on his best countrified voice. Well, ain't you just a ray of sunshine? She sighed. What, Teague? Sorry if I caught you up short, Danny. I'm trying to reach your man. Is he anywhere around? Funny you should ask me that. He's here. I got called in on a case. Our victim is blonde, muscular, maybe a former federal agent. Her tone sharpened. How do you know that? That's why I'm calling. Where are you? Teague, what do you know about this case? Nothing yet. Where are you? She sighed again. I'm at the jetty by the dunes. I'm on my way. He hung up. Isabel, I need that stuff. She turned to her computer and accessed the appropriate files, sending them to his email. Teague took the time to make another phone call. Hey, Jasper, is your boat still tied up at Kai's dock? Yeah, why? I need a ride. Teague brought his friend, another police officer, up to speed. I'll meet you there in 15 minutes. I'm in Port Orange. Thanks, bro. Hey, how's that hot fiancé of yours? Still my hot fiancé. Don't you have a girlfriend? Not at the moment. Well, mine isn't up for grabs. Pity. I've always been a sucker for sultry brunettes. See you in a few. I'm on my way now. T confirmed the email from Isabel as he rushed out of her office. He drove quickly as traffic and lights would allow, arriving at his destination in record time. I hope that you've enjoyed the first chapter of Conduct Unbecoming. I apologize for my flubs and blubs along the way. I even sat down and practiced that a few minutes beforehand, and I still messed up, and I apologize. I don't do well reading aloud live. I can't even extemporize properly without flubbing up. Anyway, I will be sharing more of my books as I go along. I plan to do as my next book. What am I planning to do as my next book? I believe that I plan to do Lone Wolf. That's one of my sci-fi books. And after that, I will do the second book, Shock Is On, and then I will read from The Maker, and After that, I will read from Lone Wolf Tales, and I'll read bits and pieces from each of the stories. Until next time, this is Delaney Oakes. Goodbye, and have a blessed tomorrow.